The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island, and welcome to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. Well, this morning we have a returning guest, Emily Hall. We're going to continue our conversation around the importance and many, many issues that surround sibling support. Emily is the director of the Sibling Support Project. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
You know, there was really so much to unpack last week, and we really are just scratching the surface. I thought it very important for us to talk a little bit about what we mentioned in the first show, which was SIB shops. I say that, SIB shops. What are they?
Thanks for asking. So last week we talked about how siblings experience many of the same issues that parents experience. But if we look at the services and supports that are available for siblings as opposed to those that are available for parents, you know, it's kind of easy to see who's getting the short end of the stick, right? When we think about family support in our field, we really think about parent support, right? Our functional definition of family doesn't often include siblings. And so back in 1982, Don Meyer, who founded the Sibling Support Project, he created these things called SIB shops. And SIB shops are one of the ways that we've really worked to support school-age brothers and sisters through these fun pedal-to-the-metal events that provide young brothers and sisters opportunities to meet one another, you know, maybe for the first time. We talked about how isolating it can feel to have a brother or sister who's different. But these kids get to meet other siblings of children with special developmental and health concerns. They get to receive information. We talked last week about that really important need for information that siblings experience. So SIB shops are a place where they can get information about their brothers and sisters' disabilities or health concerns, about the services they might be receiving. And first and foremost, they're a place where brothers and sisters can join together to have fun. When Don was researching back in the late 1970s, sibling support models, what he read about in the literature could be described as, you know, a circle of folding chairs with little siblings sitting in them with a therapist and a box of tissues. And that didn't really appeal to the 11-year-old. You know, it didn't really sound like something he would give up a perfectly good Saturday afternoon to do. And so he created this model called the SIB shop, which focuses around fun and the universal language of play. So SIB shops exist all across the United States, in every Canadian province, and in about, I'd say, close to 20 countries around the world now. And I think one of the reasons they flourished in so many different settings is because they focus on that universal language of play and then also shared experience. So in SIB shops, we play fun games. We do discussion activities. We talk about the ups and downs of having a sibling with a disability, the good. There's a lot of good, by the way. Let's not lose sight of that. And so good, you know, and everything in between. We usually feed them when we're in person, right? Food is love. We like to make snacks together, and we have guest speakers, but we really work very hard as a SIB shop facilitator community to make sure that these kids have an opportunity to come to a place where siblings shine, right? Mm-hmm. They are the stars, where their needs come first. And we do that in a really unapologetically fun way.
Cool. The SIB shop, I mean, at the core of that is this idea of fun, that something kids would gravitate to and want to be part of. Is there an analog in the adult world? Is that some forum in which adults come together, and maybe it's not games, or maybe it is, but when they come together, what's the glue there?
So for adult siblings, we bring them together in a couple of different ways. First of all, is through our online groups that I mentioned last week. So we have SIBNet, which is, these are all closed Facebook groups. You can search for them on Facebook. answer three questions to, we want to make sure that you're a sibling. We monitor those groups. We make sure that they stay safe and warm and really supportive spaces for siblings to connect. So SibNet is our group for adults. SIB20 is for 20-something siblings. And then SibTeen is for our adolescents. And those are really nice ways that siblings can connect 24/7 and share stories. The other day, for example, we had a member of our SIB teen group, and she said, "I'm so excited. I know I can't tell my friends this because they just won't get it. But my brother, who is 13, finally learned how to tie his shoes, and I'm so proud of him." Sure. Right? People were just so, so supportive and congratulatory. The other way that we bring adult siblings together is actually in partnership through, I always call it a sister organization, the Sibling Leadership Network. And that is an organization that was founded in 2007, and they exist essentially to provide services and supports for adult siblings. And there are chapters in every state. And the goal of the chapters is to create local opportunities for siblings to connect. So there's a New York chapter that I actually founded a million years ago and is thriving still. And those groups get together. Sometimes it's for advocacy initiatives. Sometimes it's for social things like a book club or a brunch, just to be able to connect and talk to one another.
I imagine that regardless of the age group, participants might have some concern around privacy. Right, and confidentiality. How is that safeguarded in a SIB shop? And also, are there special modifications that have had to be made now that we're in this COVID world where we're doing so much more in a Zoom or remote format?
For sure. So first of all, I'm so proud of our SIB shop community that, you know, we pivoted rather quickly when the pandemic struck because, you know, we were hearing from our kiddos that they needed that support more than ever. They were, you know, stuck at home under the same roof with their families, with their brothers and sisters, you know, as all of us have been stuck at home with our families, which is joyful. Some of the, you know, a lot of the time it's good, but that also kind of magnifies family dynamics. And when there's a sibling with a disability, a child with a disability, you know, that the stress that that can cause can really be magnified. And so we were hearing from a lot of kiddos that they really needed the support more than ever. And so a lot of our SIB shops moved online and are still offering services online, which is great. In terms of confidentiality, you know, we have a golden rule of SIB shops, and that is, you know, what is said at SIB shops stays at SIB shops. And of course, the exception to that is, you know, if there is a child who talks about maybe wanting to hurt themselves or hurt others, that's, you know, our first rule. Most of us are mandated reporters by licensure or by the policies of our organizations. And so safety first. But the kids understand from the outset that, you know, what they say in SIB shops is not going to go home to parents. Which is not to say that we don't want kids to go home and talk to their parents about what happens in a SIB shop. In fact, we do. We want kids to go home and say, "My gosh, today at SIB shops, we talked about how, you know, some of us don't always like our brothers and sisters, right? What a great door to open for a conversation with a parent." What we don't want the child to say is, "Oh, today at SIB shops, Emily said that she really hates her brother Peter sometimes," right? We don't want the kids to use names. And so we make that really clear at the beginning of SIB shops that we want to respect each other's confidentiality.
I think that would be critical. I know on the site, there is a distinction made, an important distinction between what the SIB shop offers and, say, therapy. And as I listen to you, at the very least, I think these experiences can be therapeutic, which is different than therapy, of course. You know, I suspect, Emily, that some of our listeners are going to be interested in bringing this kind of forum to their communities, as they should be. What are some of the guidelines that you might put forth for anybody who's listening to this show and saying, "Hey, you know, we really could benefit from this in our town"? And I imagine there's some kind of a playbook.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that. So there are a few steps to take if you're interested in starting a SIB shop, and we hope you are. You know, our goal is for, I always joke, you know, my goal is for a SIB shop on every corner, because we don't want to make it difficult for parents to find services and supports for their typically developing children, right? They're so busy driving around to therapies and doctor's appointments and all that stuff for their child with special health and developmental concerns. We want SIB shops to be really accessible. And so, so if you're listening and you're interested in starting a SIB shop, we invite you to do that and to explore that. You don't need to have any special credentials, right? We have oftentimes parents are the people who start SIB shops because they recognize a need in their own family and their own community. We want you to come to one of our trainings, which is essential that you receive the certification to become a SIB shop facilitator, to make sure that your SIB shop, when you're running something called a SIB shop, it really is something that parents can know is grounded in our model and aligned with our values and mission.
Let's just pause for just a moment. I have to move towards a break, and that's just where we'll pick up. We'll talk about the guidelines for starting a SIB shop. You know, you're listening to Emily Hall. The subject is sibling support, the project, on 103.9 FM.
Even while we sleep.